Area 51. Thank you. Okay, if you're a first-time GSR, been in service a day or decade or two, have ever attended your local district meeting or area meeting, have 2 years or 40 years of sobriety, have a service sponsor or not, we're glad you're here. The chat, including questions for presenters, only goes to the host. And after the speaker is finished, the presenter will review the questions that have been sent in and answer those that fit the parameters of this event. All participants, except for presenters, will remain muted. Questions will be general in nature and for informational purposes only, based upon the experience of the presenter. No questions about the new inventory. The meeting is being audio recorded and posted on Area 15 Outreach website following this presentation. In keeping with our principle of anonymity, we ask you not to take a screenshot of the attendees or any presentations. If your last name is in your Zoom name and you're uncomfortable with others seeing that, please change to your first name and last initial. You may wish to identify yourself by your district or service position as well. If you have any questions, we can be reached at outreach, that's website, outreach@area15aa.org. Now, please join me in a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer and the preamble. God, grant me the serenity,
to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and wisdom
to know the difference.
And the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Okay, now, let's see. Okay. My name is Sharon W. again. I am a member of the Area 15 Outreach Committee. Also here this morning, our other joint our other Area 15 Outreach members, Fawn S., the chair of the committee, Wayne H., and Jorge L. And we have one presenter. Is he here yet? No. Billy N. He's past Area 19 Panel 49 delegate and Class B General Service trustee, who will be speaking on the 2016-2018 Area 15 inventory process from an historical basis only. This presentation includes a review of key summary documentation provided by the Area 15 Ad Hoc Inventory Committee. Please send your questions to the host in chat box, in the chat box to be answered after all presentations. And I don't see Billy here yet.
He is having a little difficulty getting on, so okay. I am in conversation with him at the moment.
Okay.
So he has a little difficulty with his Wi-Fi. So he's moving as, as we speak.
Okay. Did everybody out there receive the information that was emailed as far as the final summary report and other documentation? Just not available. Okay, I got a couple of them there. Good. That'll make it a little easier to follow along. Oops. It looks like she's talking to Billy now. Zoom is a wonderful thing unless your Wi-Fi is not working right.
He's getting help from professionals. So we're helpful. That was my morning prayer this morning, in addition to all of it, that we would have good Wi-Fi. It's also a full moon, just and St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, I know the world is under a handicap.
Yeah.
So I will speak. Some people are here and don't know what Area 15 is. I know we had a, who came in early? Oh, Sue, right? And was it Sue who asked, or was it somebody else came in and asked? So Area 15 Outreach Committee has been a committee. This is the first panel. We started panel 71. Our goal is to help promote our committees, our area, and our officers to be available to our districts, our body at large, Area 15, South Florida. And so we had hoped to be traveling around and bringing literature and having speakers and doing events. And then the pandemic hit and nobody went anywhere. So the timing was perfect for outreach committee because we found Zoom and we started doing some great events. We heard from one of our districts who said, why don't we do a GSR event? And that was really well attended. And I think it was it's perfect timing because we need to continue to keep the information available for our new GSRs. In addition to what our districts are doing, there are some issues with getting new GSR kits out from General Service Office. So we've gone digital with a bunch of information because the GSRs are our bosses, right? That's the most important person. So we want our GSRs to have the best information available and to know how the service structure works here in Area 15. We are a little different than what you'll find in the service manual. We have districts and district chairs because we're very large, very spread out. And we don't fit in. In fact, the new service manual, which we're gonna be reviewing as part of this year's conversation agenda item, put our district chairs in the appendix as an alternate structure. And so we're having conversations as I'm also a registrar for my district, District 6. And we have a little difficulty getting our information from the fellowship connection because of the way the service structure is oriented. But our job is to be, and Wayne, Billy just came in. If you could make him co-host, I appreciate that. And so we're available to be a resource to our South Florida recovery family, all of AA, and whatever we, and if this meeting was only attended by one person, we would have done it. But we're so grateful that we have a good number of people here this morning. And as we said, we will be recording this. So at this point, I don't know if Billy has got his, gonna want to take a minute to collect his things. That would be great. And as soon as he's ready and he turns his video on.
I'm in the room.
I'm
in the new room. I'm actually in this room, but in the new room as far as a different room that has good Wi-Fi in this hotel. But I'll turn my video on. If my video goes bad or my voice goes bad, just give me a signal and then I will turn my video off, which shouldn't affect the presentation at all. So.
Okay. All right.
Hold on one second.
So I also want to say hi to our area chair. Lisa's here for a bit. And to all the people from the various districts and areas that are here. So thanks for being here, everybody. At this point, Billy, thank you so much. And Sharon already did the welcome. So
you can hear me, Fawn?
Yeah.
I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Can you guys see me?
Not yet.
Can you see me now?
There you go.
Is my voice still good?
It sounds great.
All right. Somebody warn me if that goes bad again. Good morning, everyone. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to start out by saying a couple of things. Number one, the previous inventory committee, I think the area owes them a big thank you for all the work that was done, all the work. I also want to say that I believe that people behind an AA podium lose a lot of individual freedom. That is my belief. That when you're not just a participant in the meeting, sharing your own thoughts, that when you go behind an AA podium, you have a lot more responsibility, which that responsibility is to keep individual opinions off to the side. That responsibility is to keep truly principles before personalities. And that responsibility also is that if you don't know the answer to a question, you just say, I don't know, and you move on. And you maybe say, hey, if I can find out the answer, I'll get it back to you. But I just wanna, you know, get all those things out of the way. Now, I am also not a fortune teller. So that means that I know the positions that some people in this meeting currently hold. And I know the positions that some people in this meeting may have held in the past. But I do not know every position everyone held. I do not know what position people held while the prior inventory was being done or after the inventory. When the ad hoc committee was working, I don't know who was active in service then. And so why I say all that is because Area 15 has multiple district chairs and a lot of DCMs and a lot of good area officers. And if anybody wants detailed information about the prior inventory, all they have to do is make a request for some information from those people and they can receive it. There is no information that you cannot receive. So I am going to, because I received, you know, a couple of emails, but before I go to my notes on the inventory, I want to say this, the outreach committee. So for everybody that is on this right now, the outreach committee did not exist before the old inventory, prior inventory, or whatever word you like to call it. I mean, I know that there is a new motion for a new inventory to be taken. So I'll just call this the prior inventory. The outreach committee did not exist. So I think that is the first point that I really want to drive home. That the outreach committee exists today as a result of the prior inventory. And I think everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean every single AA member, regardless of what position or title you currently have in Area 15, should feel comfortable to know that if there's something that you saw in that prior inventory that you think could lead to something changed in the future, that you have a way in Area 15 to go to your district and bring it up and perhaps bring a motion to the area. But I can't do that for you, for sure. And other people can't do that for you. I mean, I really want to stress individual accountability regarding the prior inventory, that I have conducted many inventories. I wasn't the facilitator on this inventory. So for anybody that wasn't here, I just want you to know that I was not the facilitator. But I have conducted and acted as a facilitator on many inventories for Aries. So I just want to point out a couple of things that I've noticed after a couple of them, just in regards to this inventory. Number one, when I run into somebody like a year later from that area who thinks that I was in charge of getting everything done that came out in the inventory, I just want to get that out there, that the facilitator and the people who worked on either the inventory committee or the ad hoc committee, that's not their job. I just want to explain clearly the job of the people involved in the prior inventory, so that, because I hear some confusion all the time around this, is that the facilitator's job is like that of an AA member hearing a fifth step. Their job is not to go out and do the amends. The sponsor does not say to the sponsee, you know what? I have it. Don't worry about it. You don't need to do a thing. I will go out and take care of all these amends. I'll even make your list for you. That's not the facilitator's job. And I have done inventories where people have asked me, did we ever follow up on that? I love that question too. It's not the facilitator's job to follow up on what comes out. It's their job to facilitate. Now, I know there was a committee that looked into and put together some documents. And actually, that's where the outreach committee motion came from. But I think it would be kind of, I don't know, foolish to think that another motion couldn't come from the past inventory. And I want to stress that too, that there is no time limit. And I cannot read. I'm not a big believer in reading to people anyway, or doing people's work for them. Meaning that it's definitely not my job to read through any of the documents that the area has shared and tell you what motions to make. It's absolutely not, doesn't fall to me. But there's also no time limit on the information that was discovered. I mean, again, I'll use another fourth step term of uncover, discover, and discard. That's a common phrase used regarding the fourth step. The inventory uncovered some items. They were discovered then. You could discard some, you could make motions with other. I think the point we're at now is that for whatever reason, and it doesn't matter why, there was not a lot of, as far as I can see, there was not a lot of meetings like this one that's being held right now. So a couple of things, and I'm going to tell you, I just read through the minutes and the notes and just looked at things at a high level. And if I mention them to people here, if one of those things kind of strikes a chord in you, well, then that's good. But striking a chord doesn't bring change in Alcoholics Anonymous. I also want to make that. I would stress this. I can't tell you how many hospitality rooms I've been in the United States and Canada, where I've been willing, especially when I served as a trustee and director, where I've been willing to listen to someone who is really, really, call it passionate or angry, either one, with something going on at the General Service Office, or a literature change that they do not particularly like, or it could be a number of topics. But what amazes me about Alcoholics Anonymous, and again, this could sound very judgmental, but I'm just passing on my experience. I am always amazed by how many people are willing to take 45 minutes to let me know how upset they are, but they are unwilling to take a half an hour to send an agenda item in to the conference secretary to actually lead to some change in the process that is outlined in our structure. And again, I know that sounds judgmental, but I can't help but tell you that that is my experience, that it's sometimes it's easy to get people all rallied up and all excited in a diner or a hospitality room or in the hallway of an assembly. But then later on, no one wants to put pen to paper or keyboard to screen and send in some kind of motion or agenda item to actually deal with the issue that has them kind of all emotional, all riled up. And so I hope that anybody who's in this meeting, I would really tell you that regarding the old inventory, the single most important thing that everybody who's interested in that should know is to make sure you're familiar with the process for change in Area 15. Make sure you're familiar with the current practice about how do you present change in Area 15 regarding who can make a motion, when can a motion be made, when can a motion not be made, what is the current practice on the subject that you are so excited about. For the most part, Alcoholics Anonymous everywhere has a decent structure to get change done. It's just a matter of working inside that structure to get the change done that is usually the hardest part for people to grasp. So a couple of things that I saw, and again, I want to stress my personal opinion. I can't not have an opinion, but you get to believe my opinion is wrong. And my opinion is not about the subjects of the prior inventory. My opinion is about the subjects that seem to appear and got a lot of attention. So my only job is not to agree with or disagree with any of these subjects. My job is to tell you that a lot of these were there, and maybe you want to think about how you feel about them. And should you do anything to bring change forward? And you, I mean you, your district, your sub-district. Number one, I think I'll deal with the motions. I already mentioned the outreach committee was passed and was sitting here as a result of that. There were other motions made. I could do your homework for you. It could be like someone that calls me about AA comes of age. And they could say, you know, Billy, where did this happen? And I could say, well, did you ever read AA comes of age? No, I never had time to read AA comes of age. Could you just tell me the answer? Telling people the answer in AA is just the recipe for uninformed people. What I'm going to tell you is if you think or know now, maybe you weren't there, that there were motions made that were withdrawn as a result of the old inventory, that is a great discussion for a district meeting. That is just my two cents. And it's a simple request to your district chair. That request would sound something like, do you know what the motions that were made as a result of the old inventory that were withdrawn? Now, maybe a district chair will say, yes, I know exactly what they are. I have them right here. Great. Maybe a district chair says, no, I didn't even know any motions were made that were withdrawn. But that's great news too. Because requesting that your area chair or your DCM present those motions or find out what they are is such good work for the district or a group of people who want to be informed. Now, a couple of things that came out that I saw. I'll start with the assembly weekends. And again, in full disclosure, I have attended the last six or so quarterlies of Area 15. And so I tried to blur out anything in my head that I've heard about change recently, including at the last assembly, which is very difficult because that's the last one I was at, so the easiest to remember. And there was some talk regarding the assembly weekend, but I'm trying to push that out of my head and just trying to present to you from the notes of the ad hoc committee on the prior inventory, some of the things that jumped out at me that maybe you want to think about. Less days, that was noted. Is there a possibility the quarterlies could be less days? Now, I don't know the answer to that question. That's not a question for me to answer. What I do know is that it appeared in the inventory. That thought, should the assembly be less days? Travel time. Does the assembly or the quarterly take into account the travel time from various places in Area 15 and how that affects attendance at the weekend, including the business meeting on Sunday? Again, has nothing to do with my personal opinion. Those are things that are just generated in the reports of the ad hoc committee. Available rooms at the location that the quarterly is held. What are the availability of rooms? How long are they available for? Are there enough rooms for everybody if they come? The cost of a room. Again, I just throw out those subjects as things that were uncovered, things that were discussed. Again, I would throw this out there. There's lots of information that you can gather from other areas regarding how other areas do assemblies. Again, not my job to tell you or to say which is better. But what I can tell you is there's so many different ways of conducting area assemblies that are called quarterlies in Area 15. But not my job to say which one is the best or which works the best. But I do want to bring up this other topic. Area committees. Now, an area committee is well defined inside the service manual, the new one and the prior ones. There was a lot of talk in the previous assembly, in the previous, inventory. Are area committee structures being utilized in Area 15? I think that would be the best and most principled way for me to make that statement. Not is what we're doing good or bad or anything else, but I think the most principled statement would be, is the availability of what the service manual calls an area committee structure currently being used to its advantage in Area 15? That's the best way I could propose that question. What I would tell everyone is do a little homework on how other areas use the area committee. And the other thing I would say is, if you happen to have a best friend or a buddy or a service sponsor, don't just base it on what their area does. I've made that mistake myself in AA in my service experience, thinking that the way one area does something is particularly the best. And the reason I usually jump to that conclusion is I didn't do enough homework. And so what I would tell you is this thing about area committee and its usefulness inside an area and assembly structure, there's lots of information out there from different areas about how different areas use it. I would also suggest, based on what I read, that look at how Area 15 used to operate and now currently operates, and the motions that impacted that. I do not want to point out what I think are important motions in current practice, because that would be too much of my opinion. However, what I would assure everyone here is that there are a couple of motions that I've read inside current practice that seem to really impact how things are done right now. I mean, it pretty much tells how the area to conduct business. There is a kind of intersection, though, between the talk in the prior inventory about the assembly weekend and the use of an area committee. And so I just want to point that out, that if you're looking at how an assembly or quarterly operates and the time required to do it and who all has to be there and is required to be there for votes, if there was an area committee that operated differently, that might somehow impact how many days you need to meet as a quarterly or how many people have to attend. But again, that's not for me to say. It's only for me to say, if I look out across 93 areas in the United States and Canada, that it would be fair for me to tell you areas that utilize an area committee structure to deal with more of the day-to-day business rather than, I'll use the concept six term of matters of large policy and finance. So if we compared an area to the conference, concept six says that the conference should only deal with large matters of policy and finance. And then it says the trustees should deal with the regular and usual business of the corporations. So what I would point out to you, and please do your own homework, double check me, prove me wrong. But what I have seen is that in the 93 areas, in those areas that really use their area committee, meaning it meets alone, it doesn't, GSRs don't have to attend, is that they have less full assembly weekends where lots of people are required to come. And again, there's really three intersecting topics. One is the assembly or quarterly weekend. Two is the usage of an area committee. Three, which is right behind those two and came up in the prior inventory, is the cost for a GSR to attend a quarterly. And therefore, its effect on groups who can either fund or don't have enough money to fund the GSR to attend the whole weekend. So those, I have to tell you, of everything I read, and again, I'm trying to put everything I heard at the last quarterly out of my head about any look at technology or anything going forward. I'm just basing it on that moment in time. So I think it's important to know, before the pandemic, before the last quarterly, and any comments you heard about reorganizing the weekend, technology, anything, long before that, this huge issue of the quarterly weekend appeared on the inventory. And it's dominated by three categories. How the weekend is managed, meaning the meetings on Saturday, the business meetings on Sunday, the Friday and Saturday night hotels, all of that, the space required. Then you have this area committee issue where it seems that some people felt. Now, I don't think this is an opinion. I think this is based on what I read. It appears to me that Area 15, in fact, does have an area committee. and did have one at the time of the assembly, if I base it on what's in the service manual. The members of the area committee that are specified in the service manual exist in Area 15 and existed at the time of the prior inventory. What doesn't exist, and I think this is what the inventory was getting at, is there's no mechanism in Area 15 for just that area committee to meet and deal with routine business. That's what it appeared to me. And then the third issue, which I think is obviously an important one, is could use of an area committee, I put, again, I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. I put the area committee in the middle of three intersecting circles. So I don't know if you can, I don't know what business anyone else works in, but in my professional world, and I'm going to put an X in the middle circle, we love to talk about three intersecting circles and how they touch and interact with each other. I'm going to tell you clearly one of the most important things that I read in the prior inventory is that middle intersecting circle, that is the area committee. The circle on the left is the quarterly weekend and how much space is needed and how many days are needed that are driven by no real area committee operating. The circle on the right is the cost that the average group has to pay and come up with to fund its GSR to participate in the current structure. I want to stress that, the current. So the reason I love three intersecting circles is because if something was done with an area committee, like is the prior inventory, you know, identified, is this an issue? It would affect the circles on the left and right of it. It would affect how often does the assembly need to meet? How long does it need to meet? How many meetings need to happen in a weekend? How many people do we need to put up for how many days a year? And it would also affect on the right, how many times does a group have to pay for their GSR to attend an assembly or a quarterly? How many nights of hotels do they have to pay for? So I hope that I have kind of explained that with, I've been a part of a couple areas that do it in all different ways. So I'm not saying I have a favorite. I'm just saying that if I read the notes of the ad hoc committee and I try to see where do they intersect, this area committee issue along with the assembly weekends and quarterly weekends and the cost and the travel time and the gas required. And again, I want to stress travel costs. This is the prior inventory. This is not today and the gas price you're paying today. Okay. That is definitely, I think, the most important. If you asked me, that's the most important thing that came out of the past inventory. There was some talk of use of past delegates, for sure. I do not think it's my job, especially that I am a past delegate. It is not my job to talk about what is the proper use of a past delegate. I will tell you that all across the country and Canada, there are different uses of past delegates in every different area. Some delegates have a voice and a vote for life, past delegates. Some past delegates only have a voice, no vote. In some areas, they treat the immediate past delegate different than the other past delegates. And while they're an immediate, they get a vote. In some areas, past delegates are not even allowed to have a voice at the microphone unless they are invited to come up by the area chair or whoever is particularly chairing that meeting. What I'm trying to get across is it's definitely not my job to tell you what is best for Area 15. But past delegate usage and past delegates at quarterlies came up in the prior inventory. And again, I would tell you, there's lots of information. You can talk to lots of people across the United States and Canada. Every time an area wants to take a past delegate's vote away for life, someone does a new survey of how many areas let delegates vote, how many areas don't let delegates vote, how many areas let delegates have a voice. But that information is, if you ask the right questions, is easy to get. I want to go to my next one. I'm trying not to put them in any order. There was some talk about the general service, the contribution to the General Service Board from Area 15 in the prior inventory, and the manner in which it's made. Again, that is not for me to give a personal opinion about. That, I think, is for people at the current district meetings and current quarterlies to pay more attention to what happens with your finances and how do those mechanisms work. And is it automatic that money gets sent to the General Service Board? Is it not automatic? Again, I'm not going to do the work of other people. I do want to talk about new delegate area quickly. Obviously, this is a subject that's been talked about. I mean, in full disclosure, because I want you to know what I based my information on. Prior to me reading the prior inventory notes, I knew about discussions going years back in South Florida. I had heard of people thinking, well, possibly we should be two areas. So I just want to let you know that that was in my head prior to me reading anything about the prior inventory. What I would tell anyone who's in this meeting, or if you talk to anyone, is that there is a process, and it's laid out very clearly in documents that you can request from your delegate to get from the General Service Board and office, about how is a new delegate area created, what is required to create a new delegate area, what is the process, what are some of the things you should look at. What I think informational purposes, again, because it's very important that I not take an opinion and I not look like I'm leaning any which way, is that the best thing I could do is share with you, number one, this happens very rarely. So anyone that's thinking, oh, we have to have another area, I think you should take note that it happens very rarely across the United States and Canada. And so I think when something happens very rarely, that's kind of like a stop sign with the red flashing lights around the edge. It's not just a stop sign. It's kind of like a stop sign saying, stop and really take your time before you go through here. The last area created, I'll talk about the last two so people know kind of that background. The last one created was in Los Angeles. That was an area created just based on the number of groups. Number of groups and probably traffic, probably. I mean, I was there for that discussion, but they don't have a geography distance problem. They have a lack of highway lanage problem and how long. But their real issue was too many groups. Impossible for one, not only delegate to serve, but one delegate area to serve. About 10 or 11 years before that, so the last time an area was created was like in 99 or 2000. Prior to that, it was like 10 years before that. And that was the state of Washington was a one delegate state and became East and Western Oregon, Washington. That was a different reason. that was less about the number of groups and more about geography. The eastern and western halves of Washington are separated by a mountain range. And that mountain range, during certain times of the year, and remember, we're talking, we wouldn't be able to be doing this in 1990 when they were voting on splitting east and western Washington. There was no Zoom. Fax machines were the newest thing on the street, right? It was a whole different ballgame. But this mountain range, people couldn't get from one side to the other during the winter, during bad storms. So I point out those two things as informational purposes only, that that's why those areas were created. I see reference to discussion of do we need a new delegate area? But again, I would point out that any person who reads these inventory documents could go to their district and discuss it and talk about bringing a motion to the area. But definitely not my job, and definitely not the job of the current area officers. It's really the job of everybody. I want to end by talking about DCM participation. If I could have drawn a fourth circle, not really acceptable in the professional world, but if I was going to draw a fourth circle, that DCM participation is directly linked to the assembly weekend, the proper use or, you know, area's use of an area committee, to the economics of how much it cost a group. DCMs in Area 15 know what they can do and can't do. They know all about sub-districts. We have a district chair in each of our districts. And this is a place, in all honesty, I love the service manual. But if you would look across the 93 areas, if there's one place where the service manual does a disservice, it's districts. It doesn't intentionally do a disservice. It's just because the service manual says every area has one delegate. And except for one time in 1961, where two delegates showed up from an area to the General Service Conference, it's only happened once in 71 years. You know what the General Service Conference did? Sent them both home, just so you know. They both were sent home. And the General Service Conference said, sort out your own kind of dysfunctional nonsense and let us know who's coming next year. But except for that one time, every area pretty much agrees with the service manual and says, we have one delegate. The service manual says every area has one area chair. Nobody argues about that either. Everybody has one area chair. The service manual says everybody has a treasurer. Nobody argues about that. The secretary position has kind of morphed or grown in certain areas because it's become so busy. So we have registrars, secretaries. In some areas, we have recording secretaries and corresponding secretaries. The place the service manual does not accurately describe the structure in most areas is the district, because we have so many different versions. Sometimes I hear, and I'll tell you, I've heard it, but I'm just going to give you, I laugh about it. Sometimes I hear this term alternative service structure. I don't know where that comes from, and maybe it's because I've been blessed to visit so many areas, but I would like to visit, if there is such thing as an alternative, I would like to know what is the standard, because I've never seen a standard. Every area has local customs that have grown in that area and moved on. But the DCM is an important one. In some areas, there's no such thing as a district chair. It's just the DCM, the district. In some areas, what we call a district chair in Area 15 might be called a county DCM someplace else. In some areas, we use the old term DCMC, District Committee Member Chair. And then we even have some areas that use language not found in the service manual that have zones and have zonal leaders. So my point about this is, without an area committee that meets alone without the assembly, I think that's why there's this talk of DCM usage in the old inventory. That's what I, now you might get something different from reading it, but when I read it, it's like, all right, most sub-districts near me don't meet alone. They don't have sub-district meetings. So the DCMs go to their district meeting that the district chair chairs. So what really is the job of a DCM in Area 15? I've talked to different people and they have different answers. But again, my opinion doesn't matter. It intersects with the usage of an area committee. And that's why I want to talk about it towards the end, in that I read the old area inventory, and yes, you could tell me you think past delegates participate too much. Fine. It's talked about. You could tell me we need to take better care in selecting trusted servants. Fine. I would get it. You could tell me the way we contribute to the General Service Board, maybe we should find a different way to handle it, and people thought that. Fine. But none of that seems to rise to the level of the three intersecting circles of the area committee, not using an area committee that meets to deal with usual and routine business, and its effect that it has on the quarterly weekend and assemblies, and how many rooms we need and how much space we rent, and its effect on the average group who four times a year has to fund someone in a hotel for at least one night, maybe two, buy them a banquet, pay their gas. All those things are as relevant today as they were from when the ad hoc committee and the inventory committee identified them. And I have to tell you that I get it. I don't want to be arrogant and say, well, it's easy to read these and see this. Okay. So I'm aware that I have some service experience and I can look for some key things and say, wow, that really jumps out at me. But I really believe if districts take the time to look at the documents from the old area inventory, that the things that I've pointed out will not be hard for them to identify, especially because we know how many DCMs attend district meetings. And, you know, talking about the proper use or the improper use of an area committee and the effect it has when you don't have an area committee. And I think those are very important topics, and they're important whether there was a new inventory or not. The other thing I just want to tell you is I just did a cursory glance at the current practice book. The outreach committee, obviously, I said was created as a result of the last inventory. I don't see any motion or change in policy regarding quarterly weekends, area committee, how it affects the cost. Like, those issues are still out there today as much as they were from when the last area inventory was done and the ad hoc committee put together this information and is just as useful today as it was then. And so the great thing about being impartial and not being married to any of this is you can't ask me next year what happened with the old area inventory, because it's simply not my job. But it is the job of everybody in Area 15 that if they feel some of these issues need to be dealt with, to talk to the DCM and the district chair and bring the proper motions forward and operate inside the structure, not outside the structure. So Fawn, I am going to leave it at that. Why can't I hear anything?
Because we're all muted. In,
oh, okay. Gotcha.
I don't know where Wayne has gone. There he is. Yeah. All right, Wayne, it's your shot.
Okay, we were going to take questions via chat for Billy. I know that you're restricted from chatting amongst the whole body, but if you do submit questions to the chat, Billy as a co-host will be able to see them, and he has stated that he can't answer questions that he doesn't, that are based on his opinion or what have you, but that he would talk about what he can talk about. Are there any questions?
I'm looking at my screen. I'll read any questions that come to me. Oh, I have one question, and this one is one I can answer. Thank you. How often do other areas do inventories? That's a great question. And there's no real answer, I hate to tell you. It is so all over the map regarding areas doing inventories. I'm not aware of any area that has a regular scheduled inventory, except for one. I'm aware of one. They don't really call it an inventory, but there is an area in the Northeast. I don't need to say which area. I'm not playing favorites. There is an area in the Northeast that every December has a weekend gathering of just their area committee. So it is the area officers and the DCMs. And what they really do that weekend is look at what they did the year before and try to plan what they need going forward. But I don't, there is no rhyme or reason to how often people do regular area inventories. Someone's telling me Oregon has, I know everyone's going to want to correct me here, and that's fine. Someone's telling me Oregon has a regular area inventory as well. When does one begin to pick up? I'm not sure what that means. And someone, the ad hoc committee polled all areas about their process of timing. North Florida every 2 years. So my job was not to, was just to look at the last inventory. I did not look to see if Area 15 did one before that. I just looked at the last one. Any other questions? I see some of the hand up. Can you put it in the chat, please? They're saying they did. Let's see. Do DCMs in other areas carry individual GSR votes to the area assemblies? Again, One of the things I noticed from the, and I'll pass this on from, I recently chaired the area chair orientation at NARASA. DCMs are handled differently all over the 93 areas. A lot of GSRs all have votes at area assemblies. There's a couple of area assemblies that don't let area officers or DCMs vote. They only let GSRs vote. Those are very rare. Again, that's why I said the service manual is difficult around that subject, because people have brought in their own customs. One of the things that I read in the prior inventory was, how hard is it kind of for a new GSR to know what's going on in Area 15 at an assembly when they go to one? Like if it's their first assembly. Areas handle this in all different ways. Some areas have an area handbook that's separate from like their records of motion, so that it's a simple place for people to know how things operate. But there's no easy answer to your question about DCMs bringing GSR votes, because it's done differently everywhere. Any other questions? Okay, so someone asked a question. All of this service can feel very overwhelming. How do we begin? You know what? That's an awesome question. And thank you for whoever asked it. If I was you, I would go to your next district meeting. I would try to talk to your district chair and your DCM. I would try to find maybe a service sponsor if you want to have a service sponsor. I'm not telling you have to have one. But it can feel overwhelming. It absolutely can feel overwhelming. I mean, if you look at our service manual, it's like, welcome to being a GSR. Here's our 200-page manual, because it's so easy. I sometimes feel it's like buying a present at Christmas that you have to put together in 4 hours Christmas Eve night. And it's like, oh my God, how am I supposed to get this done? I try to tell people, and again, people don't have to listen to me. It's just my opinion. But I wish we had a different manual just for GSRs, to be perfectly honest. Or I wish we had a piece of paper that came across like the section that starts to talk about the boards and just said, you know what? Stop right here. You don't need to be an expert on non-trustee directors. You don't need to be an expert on concept 11. Why don't we just focus on just being a great GSR or even a good GSR? And what is the job of a GSR, a DCM, without complicating it that everybody needs to be an expert on every level of service down the triangle and every semicolon and comma that appears in the conference charter? You know, I really feel that way, that I think sometimes we do a disservice by putting such importance on the bottom of the triangle that, you know, there's a saying out there that I love, and it says, the person who sweeps the floor should choose the broom. I love that statement. I think it speaks about area assemblies and districts as well. Because whose really assembly is it? It's the GSRs and DCMs assembly. They should choose the broom. But when we start making them want to be experts in the bylaws of the General Service Board and the conference charter and all this other stuff. So I hate to say keep it simple, because in the old service manual, the pages in the beginning of the book started with an S, and in the end of the book just had numbers. And in the new service manual, the pages in the beginning of the book just have numbers. and the pages in the back of the book have a C. So keeping it simple is not something that maybe we really embrace a lot. But for the person who asked that question, keep it simple. Don't worry about some other service position. Just find out how to be good at the current one you're doing. Thanks. That's a great question. How do I not be afraid to ask questions or be critical? Doesn't it feel like confrontation? Yeah, of course. It's a great question. I think, if I were to quote one of my heroes who was very critical of me, who passed away a couple of years ago, and he was hard on me at times, especially when I was a trustee and a director, and he was a past trustee. And, you know, the biggest gift he gave me was that I don't know where inside AA service we started labeling people a troublemaker just because they asked a question. Like, he made me see that, like in a mirror. Like, just because he was asking a hard question or two does not mean he was a troublemaker. He honestly had a question. And here I am, I'm going to violate my own advice. But Concept 9 has some great language about our critics and about AA leaders. And if you're an AA leader, you should welcome hard questions. Instead, the trend has currently been sometimes to make people feel ostracized simply because they ask a question. And I'm not talking, by the way, I agreed to this beforehand that none of my answers would be about Area 15. They would be based upon my experience in AA in general. So I'm just giving you my experience in AA in general. But I will tell you, I'll just give you a couple of simple suggestions from my own failures. The more times you go to a microphone, the less people listen to you. That is a fact in Alcoholics Anonymous. That when they see you over and over at the microphone, they simply stop listening. That's just a fact. That is true at the General Service Board, the General Service Conference, and every assembly I've ever been at. The other thing is the manner in which you ask your question and the tone of voice and your nonverbal language. You know, those things are all important. And if you have an important question and you're not going to the microphone all the time, my experience is that people will really pay attention to what you have to ask. My experience is that if you have to ask a question and you're critical about everything, then people will soon or later just stop listening. But maybe that's not your experience, but that's my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous. Any other questions? Oh, someone just asked me one. Is my circle chart for distribution? No. In fact, I was very clear when I agreed to do this that there would be absolutely no written report or document from this presentation that could possibly get used anyplace else, or this is what was said at that. Nope, that is absolutely not going to happen, because the documents that I reviewed are the same documents that you can review. Any other questions? I do not see any other questions, Fawn.
All righty. I'm going to turn it back to Wayne to take us to closure.
You made it, Wayne.
Mike. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Mike, yes.
Can you share your screen and so I can follow the closing? Thank you. So this will be the only presentation conducted of this previous inventory. As noted at the beginning of the meeting, this has been audio recorded and will be made available on the Outreach Committee website. Thank you for attending. We hope you will visit us again. And please feel free to share this information with others in the program that they may wish to join us too. We will now close with the Declaration of Unity.
Unmute. We'll stop the recording.
All right, you ready? To this?
This.
Today's future.
Today's future. To place our common welfare first. To keep our fellowship united.